Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch two Search and Destroys. One from 1979 involving ex-military guys. The other one, a film given the green light by Martin Scorsese and filmed by all his fans. Oh, today is actually the only one
I'm a runaway son of a nuclear aid bomb. I am the world's forgotten boy, the one who searches and destroys. Somebody gotta help me, please. Somebody gotta save my soul. Baby, detonate for me.
Yes. Welcome to the Eric Me Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the same title and say at least one of these titles will have to come up with a new name. But don't worry, they will not go home empty-handed. They will have a list of plenty of great names that me and Herman will be coming up with. Oh, I just gave it away. I'm Robert, and he is...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Yes, it is a duo broadcast this time. And this is one that's been on the back burner for some time because I bought this disc back when the FYE was about to go out of business. It was a cool $2.99 before the sales tax, the discount that you would get for these things. And it went down to $2.
Yay!
So this is a $2 DVD that may or may not work. So, but it is not available any other way. So we don't even have a backup for this. So hopefully it'll be fine. The other one is available on YouTube and does not have a trailer. So this is going to be interesting. We might just find a clip from the YouTube and just play that instead.
A clip from a commercial from Battleship.
Sure.
Because that's kind of like Search and Destroy.
Yes, exactly like it. Both of these plot lines are exactly like Rihanna going out to sea, blowing up aliens. Makes perfect sense on that. Did you ever see Battleship by any chance?
No, I did not.
Did you know that they filmed a lot of it here in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, that was why I was interested to see it. But when I when I heard...
Interested, yet... 5 years on, whatever.
When I heard the producer talking about trying to tell you there's a really serious strategy to play the board game Battleship because the strategy of the game is to blow up your opponent's ship as fast as possible.
Yes.
I was like, if he really says something that stupid on the interview trying to promote the movie, I don't know if the movie is that good, you know.
Why is that stupid? What is the strategy to playing Battleship?
To blow up your opponent's ship as quickly as possible.
Right, right. So
that's
he just told
only
you the strategy.
Strategy.
Yeah, and you know it. Your opponent does not know it
but
at all.
But for him to sit there and act like, oh, I'm letting you in on a big secret.
Maybe like other people's strategy is like forming a little circle as you slowly close in on your ships as they go closer and closer together while your ships have all been destroyed in the process.
I thought he was about to come up with like an up, up, down, down code or something for me.
It could be.
You know, yeah, right.
That would just be the electronic one. The other one, you just move your ship slightly to the left. And like, oh, you missed that one.
People do that too.
Yeah, I'd do it. Why not? You can't see me. What am I doing? I don't know. Got this hand over here. You're looking at this hand, Herman. I'm doing something with my other hand. You can't see it. I win again because Battleship is all about strategy.
Some person,
or
they
cheating.
Go, they go out the box and they say, you play the whole game. You be like, say, bro, I done shut up the whole grid. How come I haven't hit one of your ships? Oh, I never put them on the grid.
Ooh.
Yes.
He was thinking outside the grid.
Yes.
They're off the grid. It's like what was it, Tron? Whenever they would play off the grid, and they were on, like they took their motorbikes off their speed cycles off the grid.
Hey, Robert, guess what?
You never seen Tron?
Never seen Tron.
What?
No.
You never got Disney for free as a kid?
Okay, let me rephrase it. I probably did see Tron, but my uncles was watching it. This is when I really wasn't feeling sci-fi and movies at all, and I just tuned it out.
Stupid uncles! What do they know?
Yeah.
Let me watch Mama's Family instead.
There you go. That's all I wanted. Mama's Family or the A-Team. Damn. The A-Team.
No, I mean, it was said with such confidence that the question last night was going to be, the answer was Webster. I was like, all right, fine, because none of these make sense to me. So, yeah, that's fine. All right, so we're gonna go into the 1979 one and then come back.
Hey, that's the year I was born.
Where at least we will know what happened with the movie because we're pretty clueless on anything other than the IMDb description so far. So
George Kennedy in it.
Yeah, George Kennedy from Uninvited. And I did show you that it is now a Riff Tracks, huh? Like they.
Yeah, you did send the link to me in honorary. Did you watch it already?
The Riff Track version?
Yeah.
No, you have to pay money for that sort of thing.
Oh, really?
You get these laughs for free. Yeah, my joke mumps are free, baby. All right, cool. All right, let's go. the delicious catching of Herman. He's been going like 5 for 5 lately. Definitely not sports trivia questions because he's got this nailed down. Oh, we just finished watching the first of 2 Search and Destroys. The first one was from 1979, more specifically Niagara Falls, Canada, starring Perry King. That's what I was typing in. Don Stroud, and possibly the finest bit of guessing that will ever occur for this podcast, the main love interest in this, Perry's girl, we'll just call him Kip because that's the name of the movie, his name in the movie, saw the girl and went, hey, she looks an awful lot like Mia Farrow. Her real name, Tissa Farrow. Turns out to be the sister of Mia. Boom.
Actually, she's a sister.
We could have turned off the movie. I would have been fine.
Actually, she's the former sister in law of Frank Sinatra. That's what she's more famous for.
Sure, of course.
Yes.
this film is the second of many, I'm sure, Canadian action films that we will watch. The first one being Gridlocked, the bloodiest of all Canadian action films. Not the Tupac Shakur one, the other one that had the dude from Avatar. I don't remember anybody else that was in it. It was some like wrestling people, right? There was a bunch of wrestling.
Yeah, Trish Stratus was in it. Yeah, I'm saying that wrong. My tongue is all over. Trish was in it. Trish was in it. That's all I'm saying.
Trish Farrow was in it.
Yes, she was in it. But this movie was. It was
No. Before we get into your judgments of this film, okay, Herman, we need to explain exactly what this movie is, because more so than not, this one had no real trailer attached to it.
That's right.
We're dealing, like, the opening crawl shows, like, the elite fighting force that is out in Vietnam. These are going to be your main players for this particular movie. These are the guys that they work hard, they play hard. But it's all in Vietnam, so it's all like killing all these other people that are against America. So like, oh, they're all red-blooded Americans. It's very much like the beginning of how they did the A-Team, where they show they're an elite fighting force. Like, they want to hammer home the fact that these guys know how to fight, and they know how to fight well. So they're not going to be the easiest to kill. And then right after they show it, one of the dudes gets killed. Like he's
very
just,
easy.
He's a janitor. He lives in Los Angeles. He dies. They're like, we can't really afford to shoot in Los Angeles. We'll just have him be a janitor in a building and do some stock footage of Los Angeles. 2 weeks later, another one of them dies, but this time it's in Niagara Falls where the rest of the gang is. And Kip, who's our main protagonist in this film, is friends with this guy that just died. His name's RJ, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Right. And he immediately thinks it's this dude's uncle, Uncle Earl.
Yeah, because Uncle Earl is shady.
Yeah, he's got, well, immediately when he goes to see him, he's got armed thugs. And it's not just like pipes or anything. They're very much equipped like with things that you would find in a Double Dragon game as you're fighting them along. Like, there's like one of them has a long pipe. The other one has nunchucks. Or whatever.
Yes.
A broadsword. You know, typical stuff that the Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Whatever the Ninja Turtles dropped in their last fight, that's what they got. So they're convinced. This is Kip and his good friend Buddy, who is the other person that's a part of this gang that we're going to get to know. Buddy, we get to see some sweet moves early on. He not only is an expert in karate chopping, He likes whipping on a whole bunch of other things around the yard before he gets ready for the day. Yes. Just to give you an idea of like how big and strong this dude is. That's what the film wanted to do. So you have this as of right now, a faceless killer with a what looked like snooker glove wearing, because you'll find out why. Like only certain fingers were actually covered.
If you ever watched wrestling, it's Manka, the mandible claw that he used for his finishing move.
Okay.
It's the same kind of glove that he has throughout this movie.
Right. So he's in the shadows at this point. He's trying to figure out where the rest of this gang is so he can go and kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they were lucky enough to just kind of like get together. So he's like, oh, two birds, one stone. And because this film had time to kill, they're like, hey, let's go out to Niagara Falls since we're in Niagara Falls.
Yes.
And enjoy things. As being a resident of Niagara Falls, we enjoy all the touristy things that are around as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a nice little photo sesh with Kip and his girlfriend. Buddy's in the the ship trying to work on something. I think that's the whole reason why they were
those guys. He's the maintenance man, and something's wrong with the ship. So
right.
He got them a free ride on the ship while he was checking it out.
Lucky them. Oh, they get to see the falls up and close. Mm-hmm. The one thing that this film seems to promise, just in its way of being in Niagara Falls but doesn't deliver, is nobody actually goes over any falls at any point. So if you were looking for a movie where people fall over long stretches of water in a barrel or some other contraption, this does not happen in this movie.
Even though one of the movie posters that I asked you if you had seen alludes to two guys falling over Niagara Falls.
Yeah, the most anybody falls is maybe like 10 stories. It's not as impressive, but they do slow it down to make it seem like it was a long way down when they fell. So you have Kip and Buddy, they get off the and the girlfriend. You have them getting off the boat, and there's our killer. Not really. They really don't hide the identity after about 10 minutes. You find out it's a dude that they worked with in Vietnam. They were supposed to bring him from point A to point B. In the process, they get ambushed. Kip tells him to pick up a body of somebody that is hurting. He does not do it, and in retaliation for not picking up the body, they leave him to die. So his response to him being left to die is, well, I must go and find these people eventually and kill them. This is 10 years later. So it takes him a while for him to do it. So you have Buddy chasing Kip, this mystery dude, after he shoots Kip. And they get into a fight up on top of a roof where Buddy eventually gets paralyzed. So he's essentially eliminated from this movie. Kip is nice enough to visit him in the hospital, but that's about all that we see.
He want him $1 million baby him.
Right. The rest of it involves George Kennedy, who is the head of all the cops, trying to keep Kip safe, or at least try to capture this dude, because we're in the heat of the Niagara Falls tour season, so we need to make sure that we catch any of these criminals before they become a nuisance and decide to shoot anybody else that's there. The atmosphere of Niagara Falls is very much like Gatlinburg, Tennessee. This is, Herman, you've never been to this.
No,
have you been
not
to like a Branson, Missouri, or say basically a place that has that casino or Vegas like feel without actually having any actual casinos in it?
Oh, well, when you say that, I say I have been to Las Vegas.
Vegas doesn't count.
Okay.
This is
Orlando.
This is, well, you have a whole bunch of bright lights sort of going on. Orlando's not, no, it doesn't compare, because people go to Orlando not for like one attraction. There's a whole bunch of things you can do in
Los Angeles, San Diego, Tijuana, Mexico.
Sure. Tijuana is just a hop, skip, and away from Orlando. It's just right around the corner. But no, the thing about Gatlinburg, they have practically at every stop there is a miniature golf course and a go-kart racing track, plus tons of arcades. So the idea behind it is, we need a place to distract your family while a couple of you go camping. That's the feel of Gatlinburg. But there's tons of other things going on, like what goes on in Niagara Falls in Canada. Like, they show a wax museum at some point. The only wax thing that they showed was Telly Savalas, as a way to hammer home the fact that you are in the 70s, because he is not important any other time. Hey, look, it's Kojak right over there. Yeah, kids don't know who Kojak is anymore. Would you say your kids know who Telly Savalas is?
No, no.
Because he for the only reason that a lot of people in my generation know Telly Savalas is he did tons and tons of infomercials for whatever it was. Never saw Kojak. No. Never saw, like, The Dirty Dozen or any of the other films he was in.
The only reason why I know who Kojak is because, like, we came up in the age where cable TV was new and they was just looking for content. And Kojak was one of those early shows that just they kept showing over and over again. Like,
sure.
Quickly into syndication.
It's not this is not a means of saying that he's not famous. He just got famous for other means that I know him for.
I didn't
because,
even know he was in infomercials.
Oh, he was in tons of stuff. Like, hey, baby, you want to learn how to gamble out in Vegas? Learn my system. Hey, it involves eating this popsicle. Watch me eat this popsicle. he switched to popsicle because he couldn't get lollipops for the infomercials.
Okay.
You know, you get it trademarked, but it doesn't work for the other stuff. He actually had to grow hair for those, too.
Yeah, they've been...
It looked weird because it only came out like devil horns.
Then
so.
Big Rhymes tried to do a TV movie.
Big Rhymes?
Yeah.
like a Dr. Seuss version of Big Rhymes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. You know, Marcellus Wallace, he tried to bring back Kojak.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Because he shaved his head?
Did you watch that? No, he actually had like a...
Oh, he had a show called Kojak?
Yeah, it came on. It was like a short run. It wasn't like a...
It didn't last 15 seasons?
Well, it wasn't meant to be. It was only supposed to last for like a certain
yeah,
number of episodes.
He ended it on his own yeah, no, terms. Yeah, like, he's like, no, you don't... I don't want to do any more of these things. Tell you what I'm going to do. So Kojak doesn't live past this. Yeah. I'm going to go explode right now. Yeah. So we have ended Kojak on a high note.
Yeah, basically, it was just brought back for like six episodes on TV. That's it. I'm for real. That's how I was explaining.
He would have totally stayed being Kojak if people wanted to see him as Kojak, but that didn't happen.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, he would have.
No, he would not.
Was it because he was like honoring Telly Savalas and saying he would have only wanted six episodes
yes.
thrown out of this? Unless he was like... even though he probably wasn't alive during this time, right? Telly Savalas was probably dead when the new series...
This happened like about 7-8 years ago, so...
Right, but Telly Savalas has been dead for a while.
He has? I thought he just died in the 2000s.
All right.
Good God.
Yeah, let's find out when Telly Savalas died.
Telly Savalas died in...
Today I learned I have no idea how to spell Telly Savalas. So...
T-E-L-L-Y. That's how you spell Telly? Telly. That's how you spell Telly. I'm telling you, Telly.
Right. The computer is acting very slow.
No problem. That happens all the time.
It is. It was connected to the one thing I needed to connect it to so I can get all the names of everybody.
That's what you was trying to do.
Well, internet connection is down. So that would explain it.
Yeah. Well,
and without a phone, we will have to hold all wagers to find out exactly how close Herman was to Telly Savalas' death. He probably did not survive the Atlanta Olympics. Like he probably died like in the early 90s.
Okay.
Mid to late 90s, but no way. Okay. No way. But we'll see. Anyway, eventually what happens is Kip has to rescue his girlfriend because she gets kidnapped by this dude. They eventually spend all night hunting each other in the woods, trying to make it look like they're back in Vietnam, except it's in Canada. So it's like how Vietnam shot today. Because Canada's really cheap to shoot there. So you have a lot of underbrush stuff with them firing long range with weapons that do not work very well for accuracy. They're cumbersome weapons. What's great is Kip's, the guy that's trying to kill Kip, has a backup weapon at one point, and he pulls it out, and it just click, click, click. It's like, this doesn't work. I must have landed on it. And my mighty strength destroyed this pistol. So
yeah, and the ending is very anticlimactic. I mean...
Well, he killed him. And he's like, but I wanted to kill him with a knife.
Yeah. And then that's it. But the guy, the villain in this movie, he's actually one of the 12 masters of Taekwondo. He's a ninth degree black belt. So,
explains why he handled Buddy the way he did.
Yeah, because I was looking at his move. I was like, damn, this dude is actually pretty good. And
right.
Yeah, he's one of the 12 masters of Taekwondo. He's like,
is he Vietnamese, as the movie claims, or is this something that?
He's a Korean.
That's no. I said, is he Vietnamese? I'm of course, Korean. He's Korean.
Yeah, he's Korean. Yeah. No, he's Korean.
That's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Tijuana. So, yeah.
Without internet, I'm guessing since his last name is Park.
Oh, you don't know? You're just assuming?
Yeah. I mean, who needs facts up in this type of thing?
Of course not. Why would you?
He is a ninth degree black belt. Believe me when I say that's a fact.
Oh, yeah. Herman tried to battle him, and it took Herman like 2 minutes to beat him up. He's like, man, this guy must be pretty good. Because I usually can handle dudes like immediately. Like, I'm Floyd Mayweather, and this guy's Conor McGregor. He's like trying to beat me, but no way.
No.
Because I'm the man.
Yes, defensive fighter.
We were talking about that last night. Would you pay money to see? Have you paid money to go to see any of these any boxing fights?
No.
Does this change your mind?
No, it don't change my mind.
Okay. What would you go out to a bar that was showing this?
Yes, I would. I mean, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't pay to see the fight, but I wouldn't if a bar happened to have it on.
Right.
I would spend. You know, I would buy two nice adult beverages from that place for putting it on TV, you know.
And then give it out to the first homeless kid that you see. He's like,
yes.
Here you go, little orphan. Enjoy this pina colada that I have bought with all the umbrellas that that you can use for later.
Gotta have the umbrellas, man.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you know.
All right, yeah. As Herman was alluding to before, this film does move at a very snail's pace. It knows what it's doing. It's fine if it had more action scenes, but it just didn't play into a genre film as much as it played into a people trying to deal with like not being in Vietnam anymore, mixed with a revenge film where you're not backing the dude who is putting the revenge on, which is weird because usually what happens is somebody gets done over, and he's angry at whoever did this. So you're following this guy. That guy's the protagonist. Now he's actually the antagonist, even though given that situation. I think everybody that was involved that kicked them down, yeah, they're kind of jerks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like they might have been angry at the time, but still you don't like there's no eye for an eye.
Well, the only guy he killed that really didn't know what happened was the janitor who happened to also be the black guy in the group. He did not know.
Yeah, he wasn't just the first to go. He went before the credits started rolling.
Yeah, and he didn't even know they left the guy behind because Buddy and Kip was the one who made a decision to leave the guy behind.
Oh, so he died without knowing why he died?
Basically, yeah. It's like, basically that's what happened.
Man, that's rough.
Yeah.
So anyway, but more importantly, does this film earn the title of Search and Destroy? They do say that quite a bit in this film.
Yeah, I think they were trying to go for that reference, and by being by them being former military, they were trying to keep that on there. But to me, it just does not fit Search and Destroy.
Do you think it should be called Niagara Fall Guy?
Yeah, nah. Maybe
do some pun with it, like being a Canadian fighting film, like Vietnam, eh? You know, like something like to that degree.
Maybe flashback.
Flashback?
Yeah.
Why flashback?
Because that was the most interesting part of this movie, was when they did the flashbacks to when
that
they were
doesn't
in Vietnam.
Explain what's happening. Well, it's okay. Not like he's living his life again. This isn't like a Peggy Sue Got Married that we're watching.
Okay,
here.
How about past mistakes?
It's not. He doesn't even consider it a mistake. It's like
he did. When he was talking about it, he said maybe we messed up by leaving behind. Maybe I don't.
But
know.
He talked about it being like the best years of his lives too. another military film, the best years of our lives. Yeah. Sure. Why not? No. This is a guy that's living in the now. That is as he put it. He has a future, but it's the present that's messing him up.
Mm.
Remember that line? It was such a pivotal line. You know,
no,
what's
it again? No.
No, say it again.
Yeah, say it
never.
Again, Sam.
I never say anything more than once. Repeating something? This podcast is about being on the go. Leaving the past behind us. Going forward.
I'm just waiting for you to repeat something.
Absolutely not.
Yes, it's going to happen. What titles have you come up with?
I just told you a whole bunch of titles.
I'm trying to get repeated, though.
I'm not going to say anymore. Those were the ones that I had.
I'm trying to get
so you had the Kip and Buddy show for a little while until Buddy was, like, cut out of the movie after about 30 minutes. So,
yeah.
So that doesn't seem like that's appropriate. But other than that, you know, it was okay. And this other film, to be fair to Herman, because he puts up with all this shit, you're probably not going to like this other film too much either.
It's a Martin Scorsese film.
What's his name again?
Scorsese.
I think it's
Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Yeah, that's
Scorsese.
That's what I say.
It's not his film. It's a presents the same way that Tarantino presented films around the same time. If you notice the cover, it looks very similar to the way. The Pulp Fiction, the setup was everybody's wearing a black and white suit. They're folding arms. They're looking at the camera with a bunch of black and white, black and red in the back. Like that, and it even has the same font for Search and Destroy that it does for Pulp Fiction. So it's going to be interesting what you think. It's not going to be anything like that movie. I remember very little about it, but being okay with it by the end of the film. So we'll see if it actually turns out to be another okay film by the time we finish this. But anyway, let's go watch it and see what happens.
All right.
Ready?
I want to buy the rights to this book, and I want to do something with it. A movie. What's funny?
You're frightened of dying, is that it?
No.
You owe the state of Florida $147,956.
Are you threatening me? Is that a threat?
Are you going to ask him for money?
Okay, Lauren, it just sounds like I'm asking. Not really.
What about your condo? We could float it. Use an offshore bank. Nobody knows.
What if it's in my wife's name?
That's all right.
We're not doing any more of this, okay? I thought you were trying celibacy.
I am.
We'll try harder.
You lie a lot.
Does that bother you?
I lie. I don't do it right, though. I
always
lie at the end.
We've been on for 7 seconds, and Herman's just been patient. He doesn't say a word because he's afraid I'll make him make it all the same. Do 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 do.
And we're back, everybody. We just came back. Forget that singing that you heard before. Just back from watching this.
Can you ever forget singing? Singing is so... so precious in our lives. Search and Destroy is a movie that is definitely one of those things that just forgotten about time. The guy that directed it never directed anything else.
Thank God.
David Sale.
Okay.
The star of it is Griffin Dunne, as you pointed out. He is not on the cover of the box.
Yeah.
The three people on the cover of the box. It's on Prime Video now. So we could have watched it on Amazon Prime. Go figure. It may have just eventually been on Prime.
Maybe
it wasn't whenever.
Maybe when they seen that one person bought it from FYE a couple months ago, they're like, aha! He got people buying it. Let's put it on Prime.
So it has a star-studded cast, but most of the stars aren't in it for very long because Griffin Dunne is the main star. You might know him from American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
The film I was showing before this because. Last Train to Clarksville was in my head was After Hours, but he's also in the Dallas Buyers Club. Go figure. But After Hours and American Werewolf in London are probably some of his bigger movies. But more importantly, that is a movie that featured or was directed by Martin Scorsese. This is Martin Scorsese Presents. He is also in it as an accountant. He also had Rosanna Arquette, Ileana Douglas,
Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, Ethan Hunt, John Turturro. And probably Christopher Walken was the biggest role besides the main two actors.
How you say his last name? Dan Hedaya? Been in a lot of stuff. He was the tailor.
Uh-huh.
He didn't really say that much. He was just in the movie. And
He let his tailoring do the talking.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to do anything.
In this kind of movie, I know you got to talk about the plot, but it ruined the whole theory that if Christopher Walken in the movie and he dances in it, it's going to be a good movie. This movie... ruins that theory.
So you didn't like this movie at all. You're already going to your decision on this film before anything. Is that what you've decided?
Yeah.
There's nothing inherently wrong with the film. I think it's okay. There's nothing. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just an okay film.
No, 30 minutes into the movie, I turn to you and be like, "So when did this movie get good?"
Oh snap.
Yeah.
This is no way all eyes on me, is it?
No. Which is doing pretty good money-wise right now, making $5,000 a screen as we speak right now. So,
Herman, do you have, like, personal investments into this? Yeah. Did you put it on the Movie Fantasy League? Is that why?
I did.
It explains it. So, Griffin Dunne is kind of one of these small-time hustlers. He has never been able to get anything off the ground. The best way to characterize him, if you've seen The Founder recently, he's very much Michael Keaton's character, just somebody who's into a lot of fingers and a lot of pies, but never really anything. He tries to talk his way out of a lot of stuff. You have a somewhat cameo role by Rosanna Arquette. She's there to be like the former wife, but that's about it. He meets Christopher Walken at a party. It's almost like keep a mental note about this dude. But more importantly, he wants to option the rights to a book that he lives his life on. The guy that wrote the book is Dennis Hopper, and Dennis Hopper gives these soliloquies that aren't they're meant to be motivational speaking, but it's not really that much into motivational speaking. His characters. It's almost like he's just a guy that's dabbled into a fiction because the book itself isn't like a Dianetics sort of thing.
It's kind of like before you take off running, make sure you tie your shoes.
Right.
Yeah. Think about it, Robert.
Right. I think about it all the time, dude. I have subscribed to the Herman Davis philosophy of life. I've bought your tapes, the clothing,
mm-hmm.
Wear exactly what you wear. My kids' names will legally have to be Herman and then Davis.
Uh-huh.
And then, just because that's the way you want to have it done. That's totally, man. That's what I do. So you have he meets Ileana Douglas along the way. She is a believer in this dude. He is his name's Michael Mitchell? What was the character's name? We'll go instead of just calling him dude.
Martin.
It was Martin. That is correct.
Yeah.
Martin. So Martin, Ileana Douglas believes thoroughly in Martin's vision and even has a script that she wants to have turned into something. She's very much into like the slasher stuff. And to be fair, that's probably going to be made into a better movie anyway, because those things usually can turn over money no matter what.
Well, he did say, I don't know if you're going to reference at the end.
I can reference it whenever I feel like it.
But basically,
you've already given your judgment on this movie.
No, but that slasher movie, he said like it made three times what he put into it.
So right.
It did turn into a good investment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he tries to go directly to Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper picks him out to be the shyster that he is. So he hooks up with Ileana Douglas. She has a cousin that lives in New York, so they're going to go over there to meet Christopher Walken again. Christopher Walken has contacts he assumes is like a drug dealer or something. And none of that's really explained. He's just gone into Christopher Walken's world. We get a slice of his life. There's a moment where he is dancing and singing in I'm guessing they're trying to say like a karaoke bar, but with more flash to it. It almost had like a kabuki theater going on in the background while he was doing that sort of stuff. It wasn't just exclusively reading words off of a teleprompter and singing along to it. It was just like, hey, everybody loves me here. This is my place, and I can do whatever I want. Yeah. And a lot of this is like it might not physically be happening. It's just the trials and tribulations that this man has to go through in order to secure financing for what he wants to do. There's nothing concrete that he has to deal with that doesn't seem very odd and weirdly put together. You could say this is put on the onus of a first-time director, a lot of this had some very odd editing choices.
It kind of threw me off. Well, this dude, he seemed like a man of moral and stuff. Like, he was sketchy to do business with Christopher Walken because he thought he was a drug dealer and stuff.
Right.
But then he went from that to basically going to go make a coke deal where he was getting 12 kilos. And I don't know that much about that kind of industry, but I do know if you're going to get kilos, you move in major weight.
Right.
You know? So he was going to try to double his money by buying 12 kilos and then selling it, but that deal
probably selling it back to the drug dealer because there's no way he had friends that would buy his cocaine.
Yeah, basically.
That it's one of those things when you think about it, you're like, where's he going to go with this money? He's definitely, as Walken was putting it, he's just trying to earn scratch in order to be able to get the financing, and this is the way he's decided to go about it.
And then another way, which probably would have worked out, because you got to think the movie came out in 1995, was that John Turturro character had a scheme going where he knew somebody that printed credit cards, and he paid people who worked at stores that get the credit card slips with the 16-digit numbers and everything they needed for it, and put those numbers on the credit card, and then they sell those credit cards on the street for $200 a pop. So that was pretty actually legit right there.
Right.
And I mean, illegit.
There's some scuffling happening. Christopher Walken decides to kill John Turturro. We're not entirely given reasons why in the movie. Whatever. He then kills a cop. They decide to kill Christopher Walken. Now they have the money, and they go and make their horror film and go back to Dennis Hopper saying, we've got your money for financing. We're going to go make this book that you it turned into a movie that you've always wanted. And that is essentially what happens, but there's plenty of other elements that they decide to throw in there. And I showed Herman the trailer for After Hours because it reminded me a lot of the frantic nature that happens in that movie. And being in one of those Scorsese films you might not be too familiar with because it's not Goodfellas or Casino or Wolf of Wall Street, any of the stuff that he's won awards for, Hugo, The Departed, all that stuff. It was something that he made in the 80s around the same time he made The King of Comedy. It's not as well known. He is known for making films specifically about like gangsters or that sort of crime lifestyle, it's the other films, the other choices that he makes are just as interesting. So this actually might be one of the first podcasts that we do and it may change the direction that we do this to give a better suggestion than watching the movies that we watch, because this happens more often than not. We come across two movies that have the same title. There's a reason why they have the same title. It's because neither of them were that memorable or that good. We might have found like that niche of market that it's not even worth recommending the movies that we are actually watching, but not even as a bad way. These are just films that time has forgotten, except we've done an IMDb search, and it turns out that they had the same title. So if the film recommendation instead of the first Search and Destroy that we watched, just because it had the same star in it, felt like Class 1984 would be a great one, because that is some schlocky, old-timey, scared-of-kids kind of film. And instead of watching the new Search and Destroy, watch a Martin Scorsese classic Out After Hours. So those are my suggestions. Herman, would you have any other ones besides those that are kind of related to the films that we saw? Not just like, hey, go see All Eyes on Me, because it's great.
No, basically the first Search and Destroy, if instead of watching that, just go watch the first Rambo. Yeah.
Why?
Because
they are not really related at all.
Well, Rambo was in Vietnam.
Sure. I guess they might have seen each other at some point.
They had a cop in the first one as a cop in Rambo.
Sure.
And that's about it.
You may have also described Tropic Thunder to some degree.
You go.
Yeah, you gotta have a connection, either somebody that starred in the film, not necessarily the subject, but the people that made it that may have made something better. So either you can think of a Christopher Walken or John Turturro film or
Christopher Walken. I recommend go watch instead of Search and Destroy with Christopher Walken in it, because he's really the star of this one. Go watch Suicide Kings. That's a better one.
That's a better one?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It got Christopher Walken in both
movies. That is true.
And both movies start with the letter S.
That you have stated a fact. He is definitely in that movie.
Yes.
All right, fine.
My bad. Well, either that or King of New York.
You're still picking film. Yes, yes. He has starred in those films, and you have found movies he has starred in. Good job.
Oh, man. But no, these movies, today, it wasn't... I put it like this. The Last Search and Destroy, no, I would not watch that. The first one, I'm not recommending y'all go watch it, but I wouldn't be mad if y'all did want to go check out some cheesy comedy. I wouldn't be mad if you'd be like, but it's just,
The first one's cheesy comedy? Because of Niagara Falls? Is that the idea?
It was more funny than action.
It had funny stuff in it? All right, fair enough.
It was funny in today's standards, 2017 compared to when it came out in 1979, which is the year I was born. Damn, I'm old. Just seem funny now.
All right. Fair enough. What does that put you on the Chinese calendar, by the way, for 79?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I think
you never went to a restaurant and saw the placemat that had those things?
I think I'm the year of the horse. I don't know.
Okay. You don't have to hesitate in this and say it's something bad, because it's arbitrary. It doesn't matter. It's a snake for me.
I'm the year of the dragon.
Okay, there you go.
I'm gonna go there.
Make yourself feel better.
Yeah,
say you're the year of the dragon. Sure.
Yeah, and then somebody say,
just say you're the year of the horse. What's wrong with a horse, dude?
Somebody gonna come and call me. Gonna comment.
It's not like they've personally gone after you, Herman.
I'm the year of the rabbit.
Okay.
I might be the year of the crab. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Do you have any title suggestions that you want to make for this movie?
Yeah.
Because one does come to mind more than any of the other ones. Because they showed a copy of Ileana Douglas's script that she had for this movie. For her slasher film. It was called Dead World. Dead World seemed like a good title for the movie, and as a way to reveal that that's the title of her... because it's not mentioned immediately, but they probably threw in Search and Destroy because it sounded better.
Why, though? Well, they did mention it in the movie, though.
They do at points. They're trying to play the book at the same time as what's happening in real life, but it doesn't seem to connect that often.
Mm-hmm.
And look, honest try. People give these things a shot. It doesn't turn out well for them sometimes. Whatever. It's okay. There's nothing terribly good or bad about this movie. It's just in the okay camp. It has a lot of good reviews on IMDb. If you go to... Prime, which if they do, they do have it on Amazon. Since people can watch it now, ooh, they may actually have the other one. Virus. Holy crap, this is a completely different Search and Destroy that he clicks to. Terrorists destroy a chemical factory. A virus was released and infects the people in the town with a strange psychosis. It stars Joe Ambrose, Tom Banks, Jeff Barton.
We should have watched that one.
You think this one would have been better?
Than the last Search and
Destroy. All right, let's go watch it.
Yeah, right.
They're calling it a big 80s action film.
See, oh, damn. I think we missed a golden opportunity right there.
But it wasn't even listed in the stuff. That's weird.
That's,
Do you think it's listed as something else in here? That's why it wasn't... it's probably this one, The Above the War, that's listed in here.
AKA Search and Destroy?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have a plot. So, no, I wouldn't. Did you see they have another Expendables? So we could easily do that one, too.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
We've been doing this podcast for a minute now.
Oh, wait, here's another Search and Destroy. This might be it.
Yeah.
2.9.
Maybe we did not miss an opportunity. I don't know. It's a big 80s action film.
Right.
Then they were just trying to get us to watch it by using that false advertisement.
Sure. Yeah. Who knows?
Oh, by the way, I'm the year to go.
See, what's wrong with me? Like I said, you're trying to make yourself feel better, and you don't need to, man.
Yeah.
You're Herman. Yeah. Everybody loves Herman. Yeah. You don't have to bother, trying to make yourself sound cool. Mm. Oh, wow, there's, it's called Killer Instinct on here, but Behind Enemy Lines, remember that film?
Yeah.
With Owen Wilson? Remember that thing?
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm.
But, yeah.
That's probably the only one of the few Owen Wilson movies I actually like.
It stars Robert Patrick. Ooh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's probably one of the few Owen Wilson movies I actually liked. It was Behind Enemy Lines. You know, I really don't care for Owen Wilson movies that much.
All right, fair enough. All right,
even
so
I think Cars 3 is actually doing good.
but I think
is
Dead
also
World
on my
would
fantasy
is
league too.
Sure.
You know?
Okay. So I would highly suggest changing at least the last one to Dead World if we want to change the first one to Niagara Falls Guy or Vietnam A. Those were the two suggestions. There wasn't one that popped out. And Flashback is not it doesn't work for the movie. You got to come up with some puns here, Herman. You're a dad. Dads have this built into their psyche, their own being. You got to come up with something better than that. It's in you.
No, you know what the secret to that is?
What is it?
No matter what we do, everything seems like a pun to the kids. So
right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, it's got to come out of you, Herman. It breathes in you, and you feel it. It's released. So anyway, I actually think I don't mind keeping the title for Search and Destroy for the first one because it is about a dude searching for the other people that were in his group and trying to destroy it. But the last one, calling it Dead World, makes more sense just because. It has that feeling that you have a even with their belief system.
One of the few times in our 63 or 62 podcasts, I actually agree with you.
Yeah, it worked.
Yes,
I'm disappearing now.
Yeah,
I'm going back into the quantum leap. I'm going to jump into another body. I'm going to save another podcast. That's that's what Scott Bakula does now. He saves podcasts.
Yeah. Okay,
there'll be a time where he has to jump into Dork. You'll have to jump into Red Stick, but way down the line. They don't need saving right now.
Ooh, man. I don't know, man. Somebody should have been jumped into Jeremy.
Ooh. There's no way he'd be listening. You think he'd listen to us?
No.
But, okay, here's the thing. We've gotten this far in this podcast. If Jeremy is listening to us, if he sends either one of us a very cryptic message, what message would he send to know that he is actually... listening. If he says, what's a good phrase? What's something that can pop in there that says that he's listening to this thing?
The sunrise in the east, Vassess in the west.
Quit reading those fortune cookies, Herman.
Hey man, you got me on a Chinese trip now when I looked up the zodiac sign and stuff.
The sunrise. Well, okay, hold on. The sun rises in the east, and what was the
second? Sets in the west.
Sets in the west. That phrase no one ever uses. If it's sent to either me or Herman, we know we are in trouble because someone has actually listened to this, specifically Jeremy. So, but anyway, anything else you want to add to this?
No, I'm not plugging nothing. Nothing. Not plugging nothing.
I wouldn't do it
nothing.
Either. No, of course not. Not especially the next improv show that we're going to be doing on July 7th over at the Manship. You can see all the other events that the Family Dinner Improv Troupe does by going to manshiptheater.org/events and finding out other great things that are done downtown, including plays that no one will ever go to because you don't have a kid in that play. So
that
there.
Damn right about that.
Yeah. What's the most you would pay to go see your kids perform? I've never seen Herman look at me so inquisitive. Like, what are what? You? Why? What? Why? They're my kids. I shouldn't pay for them. Yeah, they shouldn't pay me to watch them.
What kind of bullshit is that? I see them all the time at home. That's crazy.
There's like if they said, "Hey, I'm now a famous composer, but my ticket's gonna cost $200."
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You gonna come out and see me, Dad?
Well,
one night only, unfortunately.
No, I mean, you could practice right now. And
it's in the mezzanine. It's not close either.
Oh, one of the trivia questions we got, sure. Right? But no, I guess for like right now as kids, I might spend $10. $10, yeah.
You've never had to pay? For my niece and nephews, there was one play that I went to that I paid a quarter. Like it was going to go mm-hmm. see the circus. And as a way to like admission, we had to pay a quarter to get in. Mm-hmm. So that is the most.
No,
for relatives to go see them.
I have paid for like certain events that they was actually like they'll do a fundraiser. So yeah, and yeah. I don't remember
when my parents have gone to see the spoof nights. They have constantly always that. So we got tickets. We got tickets to go in. Like we don't have to pay for this, do we?
Yeah, it
seems. And then they leave halfway through anyway. So because we're usually in the front. So yeah.
One time for the improv, I actually walked in with y'all, and the guy just was like, "Hey, so you part of the group?" I was like, "No." Oh, okay. And that was it.
Oh, like for the spoof night?
No, improv.
Oh, just for improv?
Yeah, I never got in free. Well, I have got free tickets for spoof night. Because other friends show up. And
sure.
When I go buy my ticket, they be like, "No, I got you covered." But no, for one time for the improv,
yeah,
I got there early, and y'all walked in. Y'all don't walk in through the main entrance. Y'all walk in through the side. So I just followed y'all in, and the guy was like,
"Oh,
you know?"
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's something to know. If you guys want to get in for free, become friends with us, and then just nonchalantly walk into a place, and they will assume you are a part of our group.
Just act like you belong now.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Mayor's like, "Oh, come on in, Jim." Like, they just thought you were Jim the whole time.
I told him I was James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
We all look alike.
No relation. Yeah. Sure. All right. For another That Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
The sun sets in the east and rises in the west. Good night.
Good night.
It's one of those late night, midnight films that came on TCM recently. Well, I wouldn't say recently. It's just they have a list of films that they choose and then so on and so forth. I haven't seen you in a whole couple hours, man. How's it been?
I don't know, man. Just trying to get over the whole shell shock of losing trivia, like questions that we should have known, questions that we talked ourselves out of.
Yeah.
You know, it was just crazy, man. It was crazy out there. It's like a war
zone.
Well,
it gets you honed in on your skills. Now you're like, "Oh, now I got to hunker down on this sports knowledge because I am horrible at it." You just like you're like that overconfident person at bat, Casey at the bat. Remember that whole nursery rhyme away? Like he took two strikes because he's like, "I don't even need three strikes. I just need the one to just put it right over the plate, and I can take it out." And you're like, "I got this, Fred Taylor. He was a Bill.
Yeah,
whoosh, swift." Yeah. Knowing full well that Hatfield would have pulled that one day contract bullshit.
Yeah.
If you look at the career earnings, it's not one. It's one of those things that can be argued the other way because his last game was probably with the Bills. It just wasn't. You know, he just was like, "I'm a retired Jaguar." I had one time played fantasy football with another guy before they let me have my own team. Well, it was a very exclusive league. Okay. It's one of those like they had people in it since like the 80s. Like okay. This is and they were testing me out because I said I wanted to do it. And trust me, this is the hardest league that's in there. It's the one where you do like an auction. It's not even a draft, and you can keep guys from like the previous year. And you can play defensive players. Like it's one of those type of things.
Okay.
And the first year, I kept telling him, like, we can draft anybody you want, but we're not drafting Fred Taylor because he screwed me over in another league. Because he said he was a healthy scratch on the last game, and it nearly cost me the championship. And we drafted Maurice Jones-Drew, and Fred Taylor's name came up, and I just kind of turned and was like, all right, we can go to Dallas. It's like, what? He was all, like, really surprised. And we had our arguments because there was this one time I took a bathroom break and I came back. And it's like, who was the last guy to go? Oh, it was a Michael Vick for $350. He's like, who got him? He's like, we did. Why?
Wait, wouldn't this
why do we get Mike? This would have been while he was in the Falcon. It wouldn't have been any other time. This was a really, you know, like this. It started some time ago. But anyway,
okay.
It was just one of those, man, I'm not taking another break. You're going to get Michael Vick on our team. But anyway, that to do work.
Yeah, you were about to tell me about President 1984.
No, I wasn't. Okay. We're going to leave that a mystery.
Okay.
I told you about it. I just class 1984. You got a teacher, new teacher in town. It's a bunch of hotheads in school.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he,
yeah,
no, we're not watching that. We're watching Search Destroy.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Damn, I'm discombobulated like a mother.
What's the other class in 1984?
See, I told you, that trivia was hard on me last night.
Fair enough.
I'm telling you.